views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to help illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from Hubbard Radio here on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area, but you may also be listening on WBLQ in Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, cable radio network somewhere in the United States, or on Transformation Talk Radio anywhere around the world. Welcome. You're going to be glad you joined me here today because we're going to be having a very important and enlightening conversation with a guest I'm so happy to have joined me here today. But first, I want to say hello to Mr. Benny.
Howdy, howdy.
So nice to see you today.
You too as well. Did you get your tickets for tonight's concert?
No.
Why?
I didn't realize he was performing. It's funny. I heard one of his songs on the radio and I blasted it.
You mean this one?
Woo! Good old Lionel Richie.
Only in Seattle for tonight.
Yeah. And I just love the fact that you're such a youthful young man and you like that music.
I respect great music that's original. Uh-huh. You know, I'm kind of getting a little burned out from this replayed kind of sampling type style. But
yeah. It's
all good. It makes money, I guess, in the long run. So something I don't have much of.
And I'm particularly happy to be in the studio with you today instead of... Last week was a little interesting. It was a new experience for me.
Yeah.
If you didn't tune in last week or you didn't tune in at the beginning of last week's show, I want to share with you that I did the show from my car in a parking lot in an office park under a tree to kind of shield some of the noise from the raindrops hitting my roof.
So the secret's out. So basically, I don't think anybody knew until now.
I think I said something on the air.
No,
but
I'm
it
just
was like,
joking.
No.
It sounded fine.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
And it was funny because, I really didn't want to have to reschedule. Traffic was horrendous. Mm-hmm. It was a parking lot from one freeway to the next. Finally, I realized I have to get off. And I wasn't going to cancel and say, oh, let's just do an archive because, I really wanted to interview the guest. But it was kind of funny, Betty. You know, I parked the car and I'm like trying to find the best spot. And all of a sudden, this huge, huge truck pulls up behind me and several of the cars parks there and starts unloading all sorts of stuff. So at some point, I'm like ducking, down to speak. And, it was
interesting. I'd have been just like, excuse me, can you take that somewhere else? I'm on a radio interview right now. It's important.
Yeah.
Don't you know who I am?
I so enjoyed the interview anyway.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm glad that you joined me last week, for those of you who did. And I'm so glad you're joining me here today. I'm excited about today's guest. This is somebody who, I'm going to be totally honest, until a couple of months ago, I had never heard of. And he's an amazing man. I'm talking about George Cappanelli. And he is, oh my goodness, he's done so many things in his life. When I've been reading his bio, I'm thinking, really, this is the same man? For more than 25 years, George Cappanelli, he's been assisting and inspiring some of the premier organizations. He works with Fortune 500 companies. He's also been a political consultant. He works with nonprofit organizations in some very prestigious roles. And he specializes in long-term organizational cultural change. And, change is something that many of us have issues with. And the groups and the larger the groups they are, the harder the change can be. So it's very impressive that he goes into organizations, and he also works with individuals as well, and through his writings and teachings and presentations, shares with lots of people about, how to make change that's meaningful. He's also the co-founder and CEO of Age Nation, which is a new digital media company committed to bringing information, education, inspiration, and engagement to more than 150 million Americans who are 50 and older to assist them in redefining what it means to live consciously and age wisely. And he's, you know, worked in the nonprofit world with some of the most amazing people, including the Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa, Golda Meir. He is also, get this, an Emmy Award-winning television producer and director. He's written several fiction books, nonfiction books. He wrote a couple of nonfiction books with his wife, Sedina, and they include, let's see, the titles are Say Yes to Change, 25 Keys to Making Change Work for You. And the other one is Authenticity, Simple Strategies for Creating Meaning and Purpose at Work and at Home. And his latest book is a very important one, and he's co-authored with Sedina as well, Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. I'd like to welcome my guest today, George Cappanelli. George, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Christina. Thank you for that over-the-top introduction. I really appreciate it, and it is kind of funny as I listen to different stages of my life. They talk about reincarnation. I think a lot of us incarnate 6 or 7 or 10 or 20 different times in the same lifetime, you know. So
When I was reading about you and learning a little bit more about, you know, what you're sharing with the world and have shared with the world, you know, from one perspective I say you've achieved a lot, but really on another level it seems that you have expressed yourself broadly and fully. And that's something to really respect and honor, and that I think we all desire to achieve within our own lives.
And I think that if we listen to the inner voice that helps guide us, you know, and if we have the courage to follow the impulses and recommendations and suggestions, then eventually, over the course of a lifetime, a lot of us get to play in different worlds and do different things. It's one of the reasons why it is so sad that we live in a time that people who have lived for a long time and have a lot of experience are being marginalized and their wisdom is being disregarded. You know, throughout history, every single society that has thrived and endured for long periods of time have had the practice of honoring the wisdom and incorporating the wisdom of their elders.
Right.
And those that cease to do that implode. We're on the precipice, as they say.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I am fascinated that you've written a book for the over 50 crowd, although I think that, you know, by the time somebody's 40, they should begin to think about these things. Why did you choose to focus on people who are in the latter stages of their lives, the latter half of their lives?
Well, first of all, in many ways, actually, we hope that our book has been written, our core target audience are Gen Xers, boomers, and elders. So that does include people in their 40s.
Right.
And we also hope that it is inspiring and helpful for people in younger generations who either have aging parents or relatives or who recognize that life is not a fountain of eternal youth, that they themselves, you know, also age, and when they do, if they want to do it consciously, there are things they can do. But our first wake-up call, both for Sedina and me, came when we were making late-in-life and end-of-life passages with our respective sets of parents. We had been somewhat oblivious to this conversation about aging. A lot of us, when we're younger, you know, think we're bulletproof and we don't give much credence to all of that.
And you see the way 20-somethings drive sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, do they not understand that
yeah.
life and, may end?
And, you know, even a lot of us in our 40s think that, you know, getting old there's something that's going to happen way down the path, and it right. doesn't concern us. And then all of a sudden, an aging relative or a parent or someone begins to need a different kind of focus and attention from mm-hmm. us, mm-hmm. and we tend to grow up pretty fast then. And we also, a lot of us discover that there still, here in America, isn't a blueprint. You know, there isn't a guidebook that helps us help people who are aging. Mm-hmm. It's like each of us encounters it for the first time and has to kind of make it up as we go.
Right. It's almost like with parenting, when you're a new parent, you know, hopefully you've read some books and talked to some people who've gone through it. But there are lots of people, lots of people to access. And yet when I found myself dealing with the same issues with my parents, who ultimately passed away 16 days apart from each other,
wow.
It was sort of like, you know, who do I turn to for this? And yeah, I've had a couple friends who dealt with it. But, you know, I was looking at social workers who were involved with hospice. I mean, I was searching long and hard. And I really wish that I had known more sort of leading up to it, how I could have supported them through their later stage process.
And I think it all of us could benefit enormously if we began thinking about this at an earlier stage, because, you know, there are so many decisions that we have to make when it's kind of crisis time.
Right.
And if we could begin preparing that, both as individuals who are taking the aging journey and those who are helping to guide people that they love, you know. But the biggest feeling that Sadina and I had was a deep sense of sadness that we couldn't do for our parents what we felt our parents had done for us when we were young and vulnerable and
right.
fully in their care.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, you know, a lot of things contribute to that. There's been a huge geographical dispersion mm-hmm. in America, especially in the Anglo population.
Right.
And a lot of us moved away from the places of our birth and our family heritage. And so when our parents began to age, we were in different parts of the country, and that made it challenging. And, America is so youth-obsessed and age-averse that there isn't a heck of a lot of conversation in the general public. It's becoming more so. You know, there are a lot of people who are paying attention, a lot of people who are writing books and creating magazines and uh-huh. programs. And so now there's more stuff that's out there, but a lot of it is valuable and practical, but it's not necessarily about conscious aging.
Right.
It's not about what can we do to capitalize on the wisdom and experience that we've garnered over the years. And how can we prepare for whatever is ahead in a different way?
Yeah, and I love this conversation about consciousness relating to the later stages of life. And we have to go to a quick break, but more with George Capanelli when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, 800-203-3775.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella, one of Britain's most respected psychic mediums. John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
I love you, Benny. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having fun here in the studio with Benny, and Lionel Richie's coming to town, so we're dancing on the ceiling about it and other things.
I don't think it's too late to get your tickets.
Oh, that's good to know.
I don't think it's too late.
That's good to know. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm having a conversation today with George Capponelli. He is the author of several books, including his latest, Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. Now, George, you know, I love that you've taken one of the phrases from a Dylan Thomas poem. Why did you and Sedina choose to do that?
Well, you know, it's one of the most beloved poems, I think, and also in some ways one of the most misunderstood poems. Dylan Thomas, when he wrote his beloved poem, he didn't, he wasn't really issuing a clarion call to generations. In many ways, what he was doing is expressing feelings of regret over the incapacities and limitations that his father was experiencing, I think, and through his father. So Do Not Go Gently Into That Good Night was really a kind of cry of anguish. And I think it's one of the reasons that so many people throughout the world have always responded to that particular piece by Dylan Thomas. Mm-hmm. And so the whole idea of raging and raving against the dying of the light for us was we decided we wanted to interpret that and communicate to people that it is such a remarkable and precious gift, this opportunity to incarnate in physical form on this planet. And and that although when we're younger we think, you know, the time is infinite, as we age we realize that that's not the case. And instead of being upset and angry and sad about it, we can allow it to motivate us to complete things that haven't completed, to maybe return to some earlier dreams that we had when we entered life that we set aside. And, you know, of course, clean up a lot of the stumbles and bumbles we've made along the way. Every life is full of those. And I think the more those of us who are aging are willing to speak to that, then the more I think people who are younger will listen, not in preaching form or, you know, not from an authoritative standpoint, but just from the standpoint of someone that has walked the path and had a little experience that we're willing to share.
So how does a person go about, you know, first of all, looking back and looking within to determine what dreams have I not achieved? And then how does a person move forward trying to come to that completeness?
Well, I think that there's a place inside of all of us that knows and remembers that we have dreams, and not just the night dreams, you know, that we experience in different altered states of consciousness, but the dreams that we've come here to manifest. And Sadina and I believe that each of us comes in with a blueprint. We come in with a set of dreams.
Right. I do, too. I absolutely believe that.
And then, you know, our engagement with what people call the real world tends to disillusion some of us or discourage us. We're told, you know, to put aside those romantic illusions and and whatnot, and focus on what's practical and real. And
right, and don't go into art because there's no money in it, or you know, whatever it is. Yeah,
yeah. And especially in a world that has become so obsessed with how much money we make and how much we buy and what we accumulate, and they're the only standards, unfortunately, that people judge success by today. And and so. And a lot of us hear those things that are said in partial jest, but they also really discourage us, you know, that, oh, my God, that doesn't look like a horse. It looks like something.
Right.
Or, you know, don't quit your day job. You know, the world is full of all kinds of discouragements, and a lot of us listen to those from people that we love, and we think, well, you know, they're telling the truth because I can't draw yet, or I can't sing perfectly or whatever. And so we set all that aside, and we begin to live lives that that belong to other people, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Been there, done that.
Yeah. So by simply going back, getting quiet, being honest with ourselves, and remembering the thrill that we had when we thought we were going to save the world or invent the next great medicine or be a spectacular teacher or coach or whatever, you know, by just touching into those places, we can begin to reignite some of the passion, some of the excitement. And of course, one of the things that happens in a lot of lives as we age is that that passion drains.
Yes.
You know, our sense of meaning and purpose and whatnot lessens. And more than anything else, it's the diminishment of our dreams that make us old. It's not the chronology of our body.
Oh, say that again, George. That feels so important.
It's the diminishment and the giving up of our dreams that make us old. It's not the state or condition of our chronological body.
Yes.
You know?
And you know, I know that there are people such as Dr. Joe Dispenza who can talk about the neurobiology of that. But there really is something about living your dreams and making change when, you know, change on a regular basis that affects the physiology of aging.
Yes. Yes, it does. And we're discovering, of course, so many things about the science of aging and, and the biology of it and its relationship to the beliefs that we hold. Michael Mead, who's a storyteller and mythologist, actually he spends time in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And Michael has a wonderful book called Fate and Destiny. And in it, he differentiates between what he calls olders and elders. Unfortunately, there are an awful lot of olders in America, people who have aged chronologically, but they haven't kept pace intellectually, spiritually, emotionally. Uh-huh. And so they tend to get calcified, rigid in their ways of thinking, their ways of doing things. There is a significant drainage of passion and purpose and connectivity. And so part of the reason for writing Do Not Go Quietly is that we want to inspire, encourage, invite people who are aging to experiment and let curiosity guide them and step out of the habitual and clean up some old baggage. I mean, all of us, as we age, tend to collect a lot of stuff.
Oh, no kidding. And it's not just the things in our garage. It's the emotional baggage. Yes.
Yeah. Our book is divided into five parts. The first part is kind of a look at the as-is in our world. We look at the fact that ageism is, one of the only acceptable prejudices that are still practiced in our world. And then part two looks at some concepts and beliefs that if we begin to explore and reexamine can help us lead lives of greater consciousness and wisdom as we age. And then part three is a journey into the past, into what Zalman Schachter Shalomi, the rabbi who wrote a wonderful book called Aging to Saging, he describes as harvesting. And it is a time, if we're wise, to go back and to review things that we've done. And in that review, we naturally come to places where we get a little hitch in our step because we realize that there's something we're avoiding there or something that's incomplete. And so part of the process of moving forward with lightness and energy and commitment is to let go of some of that baggage. Chapters on forgiveness and on dealing with incompletes and on a series of things that, if you think about it, you see people at airports or in train stations, and they're just lugging a ton of baggage with
Oh, gosh. Yes. I do energy work, and I can feel it, and there's a lot of it out there.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like you got to pick up two bags and move them forward and go back and get the next two bags and move those forward. And by the time you get all your bags in one place, then you got to start the whole process again of moving them forward or storing them or lifting them or whatever. So travel in life then becomes really cumbersome when you got all this stuff you're dragging around with you. So our encouragement is lighten up, thin it out, let it go, be as clear and able to live in the present, which is the next part of the book. How do we do that? How do we? And I find that the less baggage, the less encumbrance, the less incomplete that I have in my life, the more able I am to be right here and now with you, with your listeners, with Benny,
Yes, that makes perfect sense. You know, we're going to have to go to another quick break, but George, before we go to break, can you please share with our listeners your website?
It's www.agenation.com is the main site, and the latest book site is www.donotgoquietlythebook.com.
Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation continuing in a few moments. When we return, I would like to talk to you about beliefs, because I think that this is something that's so important, not only for people who are 40 and older, but those who are younger and finding their ways. So more with George Cappanelli when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Lady, I'm your knight in shining armor. And I love you. You have me.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you ready for all the abundance you can imagine? Lynn Brown's Abundance Through Energy Workshop on August 8th will bridge the perceived gap between the material world of money and the world of energy. You will experience live readings about abundance, get to play with and see energy for yourself, and enjoy sample healing from local wellness professionals. You will literally walk away with tools you can use in both the energetic and material world when it comes to money. Register now at ruintuit.com or call 844-BINTOIT.
Do you want to enjoy your salad dressing without the guilt of calories, processed ingredients, salt, and carbohydrates? Galios miso dressings are created in a certified organic plant with all natural organic ingredients. Choose from 6 delicious flavors. Order your dressings online now and get free shipping. Mention Dr. Pat and you will get an additional 10% discount. Visit www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOSCafe.com.
My love, there's so many ways I want to say I love you. Let me hold you in my arms forevermore.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. We are having a little Lionel Richie fest because he is going to be in concert in Seattle here tonight.
So far, the concert will proceed on, not like the previous couple nights ago. Lady Gaga had a concert and had to cancel at the last minute.
Really?
Yes.
Supposedly, I didn't have tickets for that one.
Yeah, you know, I kind of figured you didn't, but I was just letting everybody know that they're a little bit disappointed just because, you know, her and her little monsters, that's what they call them, their little crew that runs with Lady Gaga and her friends. But needless to say, Lionel is probably going to still continue. He's a little seasoned,
well,
a little veteran.
I'm really glad to hear that. And I'm so happy to be having a conversation today with George Capponelli. He is an amazing man who has done so much, expressed so much of who he is in a variety of ways, bringing it to the world. And one of the most important things he does these days is he's the co-founder and CEO of Age Nation. And he is the co-author of Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. George, before the break, we were talking about the way the book is formatted and talked about age discrimination and sort of, you know, looking into that. Now, the next section, you're talking about beliefs. Why is it important for us to examine our belief system?
Well, you know, Carl Jung, who I just think is one of the true giants of history,
yeah,
and I don't think his full impact has even begun to be experienced in our world yet. Mm. But one of the things that Carl Jung talked a lot about was the difference between believing and knowing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us lead our entire lives based on beliefs that we have inherited or assumed from people who helped shape our lives.
Uh-huh.
And they, in turn, did the same thing. And unfortunately, beliefs are not carved in stone. Beliefs did not somehow or another descend written in fire on tablets that we're obligated to spend every waking minute of our lives not deviating from at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy by the name of David Ogilvy, and David was one of the great advertising wits, primarily of the last century, and formed a company called Ogilvy and Mather, which at one point was one of the best advertising agencies in the world. And David often used to say, rules are made for the guidance of wise men and the obedience of fools.
That's a
and,
good one.
I think beliefs are wonderful things. They're like stakes that we put in the ground when a plant or a tree isn't strong enough. And it gives it support. But at some particular point, the plant or tree has to outgrow the stake, or the stake ends up encumbering it and limiting its growth. And so the question that we ask in Do Not Go Quietly is, whose beliefs are you living?
Right.
Are you taking the time to compare your life experience, what shows up for you through your direct interaction with the world? Those are things that you know. You know, you know how to ride a bicycle. You don't have to believe the theory of riding bicycles anymore.
Sure, sure.
As soon as your mom or dad or older brother or sister let go of the back seat and you rode on your own, you understood what riding a bike was.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what anyone said to you from that point on, you knew.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have to rely on beliefs, then you require translators and interpreters. And those translators and interpreters often are flawed. They have their own agendas. And so to lead life that way.
So give me an example of a belief that requires the translators.
Well, most religious beliefs, for an example, require translators. That's great when a translator can be a mentor, a coach, a guide, assisting us. But when we're told that there are beliefs that are absolute and there are rules that cannot be altered in any given way, then I think that's the place that we have to start getting suspicious.
Right.
Because the truth of the matter is, God is as close as our next breath. And we really don't require a translator or an interpreter to be able to breathe.
And that's so huge, George. And I think that we've gotten to the stage, at least within the culture of the United States, where people have said, you know, there's something missing here for me to require this interpreter, this translator, this intermediary. And so people are frustrated with religion in a variety of ways and are looking for that direct connection.
Well, education, you know, our educational system is the same, if you think about it. Well, the word education comes from the Latin educare, and educare means to call forth from within. Although there are some wonderful new, you know, Steiner stuff and Waldorf schools and Montessori and all of these wonderful experiments in education that are happening, traditional education is a form of mimicry, you know, where we put kids in at desks and we seat them in rows and they're facing forward and they do really well if they mimic back what they've read or what they've heard, and that's called education.
That's sad.
And when kids collaborate with one another, it's called cheating. you know.
Right.
And so that's another belief system. We ought to be teaching kids how to learn, how to think, how to be curious, mm-hmm. how to question premises and principles and whatnot.
Right.
It's how all of them have been challenged. The great innovators throughout history haven't paid attention to the current thought of the day. Heck, if Columbus hadn't just sailed, the Flat Earth Society would still be in existence. You know?
Yeah, right. You know, George, I homeschooled my oldest son until he was, oh gosh, I guess 11th grade. He went to some classes, you know, leading up to that. But, you know, I'm so amazed with him. You know, he's a 19-year-old now, and he has such depth, and he loves to explore, you know, on the internet and in books about whatever topic inspires him. And he's got this joy of learning.
And
my other son, he went to Montessori school for a number of years. But he's now in public school, and he doesn't have that same kind of joy. I mean, it's kind of sad to see that what education can do and how it can actually not do the antithesis of support. So
we have this national debate, you know, on whether it's the test or the teachers mm-hmm. or whatnot. What it is the fundamental system is broken. And until we're not producing automatons for industry. Mm-hmm. We're not, public education began as a way of training good employees to take their place on manufacturing lines and all the rest of it. That's where public education proliferated. But the world has gone way past that.
Sure.
And now we need the kinds of things that you talk about with your oldest son, where, you know, where people are excited about learning, and mm-hmm. it's not just about staying on the straight and narrow. God forbid you deviate so that you get one odd mark that somehow or another is going to impede you on your journey to Wall Street or wherever the heck you're going.
Right.
You know, so it's the schools that ignite that passion in children. That's what we need. You know,
yes.
So the beliefs that we hold are like blinders sometimes that we put on, and although there's somewhat of an ease as a result of it because you stay in habituated paths.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes you miss the view. Oftentimes you miss the tributaries that can lead you to new discoveries, new opportunities.
Right.
So follow Jack London's advice. You know, avoid authority at all costs. you know, question.
I love that. Yes.
And there's a wonderful quote we use in the book that it says that curiosity is a cure for boredom, and fortunately, there's no cure for curiosity. You know,
mm-hmm. Right.
We need to challenge our beliefs. If we find that there's a belief that we have validated through our experience, then boy, you convert that belief into a knowing,
right.
And that becomes a core value that you want to live with. But not crossing your legs or not combing your hair or sitting down or standing up, all of that stuff is nonsense if it's not rooted in experience.
You bet. More with George Cappanelli when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Say it for always.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS. Are you ready to move past limiting beliefs and unconscious obstacles that are holding you back from financial prosperity? Do you want to be free from debt and that feeling of being disempowered? Mary Jane Allen is a financial healer and joy creation specialist who uses her unique set of tools included in her financial healing process to help her clients move past those beliefs and fears. For more information and to contact Mary Jane, visit her website, manifestyourlifedream.com, and begin your financial healing process today.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com. When I was low.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. We're having too much fun here in the studio. And, you know, Lionel Richie's coming to town. And so Lionel Richie with the Commodores, I guess, is that's when that
So I finally figured it out. You liked him previously when he was in the group. Well, you're not maybe a solo Lionel fan.
Oh, I'm a fan of
I don't know.
Too.
You're pretty jacked up on that last song.
The Commodores,
I just
played. Yeah.
See? Okay,
yeah,
there we
yeah,
go.
I love that.
Now the truth comes out.
I guess I'm showing a little bit of my age now, too, aren't I? And speaking of age, I'm having a wonderful conversation today with George Capponelli, the author of Do Not Go Quietly. Now, George, you know, we're talking about exploring our beliefs and trying to figure out the difference between believing and knowing. What happens when we discover that some beliefs that we've bought into for decades really aren't serving us and aren't true?
Well, if we want to live a life of value and quality, if we want to be true to ourselves, then we have to explore alternate beliefs or replace those beliefs with things that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, we're sure to be confining ourselves to staying stuck and not fulfilling that dream that we came here to live, not singing that note in the great song of life that is ours and mm-hmm. only ours to sing.
Right.
That's not a good thing. It's understandable because a lot of us don't want to lose the approval or recognition of people that we love or care about. We don't want to be isolated or ostracized. We don't want to have to step into the unknown. But that's what life is all about. And people who live on the edge rather than in the middle, in the safety zone, people who live on the edge thrive. They have greater passion and energy and whatnot. In fact, there's a wonderful poet who lives in the Seattle area called David White. Do you know his work?
I'm not familiar with his work, no.
Yeah, W-H-Y-T-E, and he talks a lot about living on the edge versus living in the middle, and he does an outstanding job of it.
Mm.
I also want your listeners to know, I'm not trying to toot our horn, but we're really proud of the fact that Do Not Go Quietly has won 8 major national book awards.
I heard it was up to 9.
Well, maybe it is. I'm not even up to date, but it's, and we just recently won a gold Nautilus Award, and the Nautilus Awards are one of the, you know, more prestigious awards in the industry. And when I look at all of the people who have won Nautilus Awards, I know that we're in really great company, and I feel really good, as does Sedina, about the quality of this book. And
And the importance of its message, truly.
Yes.
You talking about how there are so many Gen Xers, baby boomers, and elders now, that it's like a growing population that has, many have gotten to the stage where it's like, okay, there's something missing. There should be something more. Something's out of balance that needs to shift. And this book helps people address it in a very conscious manner.
Well, thanks. And part of the message is that we have to be responsible for ourselves.
Ooh.
We can't wait for governments or institutions or businesses to confirm or tell us it's okay. We're much too old to need permission slips,
right.
And notes from our mothers and all the rest of that. What we need to do is realize that people who are half our age have half our experience, and unfortunately, when it comes to government today, half of our intelligence should not be setting the rules that determine what the quality of our life is going to be.
Mm.
There are too many of us. We're too powerful. We know too much. And we need to get back up on our feet if we're not, and we need to get back in the game with our voice. We need to sit at the table that will determine and make the decisions of the future. That's a critical thing for us, and that's why Do Not Go Quietly can be a powerful source of inspiration and guidance for people.
So I know that beyond the book, you work passionately to help bring this out in other ways through presentations and, workshops. What's on its way to help people sort of further the conversation about this?
A couple of things. We have a conference series called Navigating Your Future that will have a whole series of online webinars and programs and whatnot, and it will also have some live events late in 2014 and throughout 2015 and beyond in different cities. And we're carefully considering some relationships and partnerships in Seattle that would allow us to bring Navigating Your Future to Seattle. Very dynamic, great world-class wisdom keepers, some of the best authors and experts in the world.
Such as, I know you've named a few before.
Yeah, Jean Houston, Barbara DeAngelis, Barbara Marx Hubbard, Bruce Lipton, Joan Borsenko, Gary Zukoff, and Linda Francis.
Yeah, wow.
Good people.
Yeah,
and
good company.
And we're honored and pleased that to be able to work with them. And we're also working on something that's very stealth and very exciting. We have a joint venture relationship we've just created with the Wisdom University Graduate School and a new school called Ubiquity. And we're going to create a worldwide degree and non-degree elder studies program.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's, we're so thrilled. And it's going to be associated both with work, study, travel programs, and
fabulous.
Also new kinds of work projects that will allow people with all of this experience to get back involved and reinvest what they know and what they're capable of in the world. So it's very exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
So, George, can you share with our listeners how they can find you on the Internet, please?
They can always reach us through agenation.com, info@agenation.com or agenation @gmail.com. Any of those things will get right to us. If they go to the book site, they can download free excerpts. They can listen to guided imagery processes. They can get a copy of the poem that launches and starts Do Not Go Quietly. Listen to interviews and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And that
wonderful
site,
resource.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, George, for joining us here today. I really wish you even more success with the book, Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. It's really important work. So thank you, George.
Thank you, Christina. You do a great, great job with your show.
It's a
wonderful show.
It's a pleasure to have you on it today. And I hope you'll tune in again next week. I'll be having Simran Singh join me for conversation. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelm and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice, full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information. Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to GetSophisticated.com. That's SophisticateD.com or call 206-420-8660.
Tap into your I Am energy to discover who you truly are and who you always have been. Dawn Smith offers a simple yet profound and life-changing way to discover your I Am energy that is hidden beneath the toxicity caused by choices we made consciously or unconsciously prior to today. This internal perfection is not an idea, a theory, or some vague notion or concept. On the contrary, it is beyond the grasp of the brain and its intellectual interpretations, as it lies deep within the language of our hearts. Visit IamEnergy.ca.